Thank you.
Okay, this part of the history conference is dealing with the history of the tri-state region. The committee has asked Chuck to come and speak about the history of the tri-state region. So I'll introduce you to Chuck.
Thank you. I'm Chuck and I'm an addict.
Chuck.
There's supposed to have been somebody else here. this is really an honor. I think the only thing I've done is to be here is that I would happen to get clean at that time. You know, I don't think I'm any different than anybody else. I don't like being up here being up here in front of everybody. I like being in the background. I don't like this at all. It's very hard for me, but I owe so much to this fellowship that I was taught never say no, and I never say no. I wish I wouldn't be asked, but I don't say no. When I first got clean, well, first of all, I could relate to a lot of that history stuff. I tried to get clean elsewhere, and when I was in rehab, and they sent me to double bubble meeting out of rehab, and I said, I can't go to that meeting. Them people shot dope, man. I said, I can't. I heard them people, you know, and I didn't shoot dope. I thought, as long as that was my thing, as long as I didn't shoot dope, I was okay. But to make a long story short, when they explained to me at that meeting, well, first of all, they welcomed me. The first time in my whole life anybody welcomed me. For quite a few years, anybody had welcomed me anywhere anyway. They welcomed me there, and they said, it's not what or how much you used, who your connections were, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. They still brings me, you know, I that made me feel very comfortable and at home, because it made me feel like I belonged. And because of my defect of being a rebel, I jumped in all the way, because I was told by rehabs and even some of the people that were coming to NA meetings that you could not stay clean in NA. There was 3 meetings in Pittsburgh when I got clean, 3 meetings a week. So we had to do a little bit of traveling if we wanted to go to an NA meeting, and I finally totally surrendered. I wouldn't go anywhere else, and it was difficult, and that was because of my, you know, my defect of rebellious and stubborn, you know, and I find my home. I'm not going nowhere else. This is where I first, where I feel I belong, and I still feel I belong, and I'm pretty opinionated, too. I still don't think, I believe in the disease of addiction. I don't believe in what drug he used. That's what I was taught here. I believe in the disease of addiction. It ain't about what drug I used. Today it's more about my defects in trying to be a good spiritual person. But the reason why I really got involved in service was my first sponsor sort of pushed me, but then when I got involved and I was even more welcomed, it made me feel very, very good about myself. Because at this point, my family didn't even want nothing to do with me, and I understood that. I even stayed away from my children because I figured my children were better off without me. That's my inferiority complex, which is still here today, man. I feel so inferior being up here. I don't feel I deserve to be up here. It's an honor to be here, but I don't feel I deserve it. I just would do what anybody else would have done if they were asked to, and they were grateful for what had been given to them. So the first thing I was asked to be, I was always good with money. I was asked to be a treasurer, you know, and that's mainly my experience early on in NA. I was the treasurer of everything in the tri-state. I was the second treasurer of Pittsburgh area, and I remember the first treasurer, when I got the checkbook off of her, there was no balance or nothing, and I said, what did you do? And she said, I just wrote checks and deposited money. I said, oh, so I remember. And then I called up Jimmy Kay, because he was handling the literature at that time. This is back in, was this in 81 or 80? I can't remember dates. It was 81 or 82. And I called him up and had a literature order for him. There was only 5 pamphlets then, and a white book and key tags. And he said, you know what, that last check he sent me bounced. I said, I don't know what to do here. And I said, I can make that check good. But I said, then I won't have any money to buy literature with. And he said, if you make that check good, I'll front you That was his exact words. I'll front you some more literature. And that really made me feel even more like I belong somewhere, you know. And he also told me when that red book came out, he said, you know what, save that thing. That's going to be worth a lot of money someday. And I listened to him. I still have my book in the box that it was mailed to me in. Never opened up, you know. And I told my daughter, I got to go into this for, today's a special day. A year ago today, I crashed on my motorcycle, shattered my knee, broke my leg. I got all kind of pins and needles in there. And while I was in the hospital, they told me I had lung cancer. And so I shouldn't be alive. They didn't think I was going to make it, but here I am. Hair's coming back and everything, you know. Second time I've had cancer clean. And also, 39 years today, I married my first wife, which I put through a lot, and she died last year. I believe that was her pushed the motorcycle over, you know. But she said, here, we're going to find a cancer. That she saved my life but put me through some pain, because it's quite a coincidence it happened on her anniversary, and she had died 2 months before that. So, you know, I just got to say that. But getting back to the history, I became the treasurer and the literature man for the whole tri-state for at least the next 5 years. Okay, if you wanted almost any treasurer, you know, that I was treasurer for the start of the tri-state convention. I don't know, the first 3 or 4 years. I was treasurer of the region. I don't know how many times, because there weren't that many of us, and they trusted me with the money. I was good with it. I had gone to a couple semesters of college for accounting, and my first sponsor's wife was an accountant. And me and him and his wife, we wrote the treasurer's handbook, which is still used today. That's funny. He was the only finance committee, they called it, the only year they had a world finance committee, and I think they never had another one. It was that year, and the only thing we did was write the treasurer's handbook. I don't even know why they had it, but of course my sponsor told me I was on that committee with him. You know, God bless him. He's in Bangkok right now working with children with AIDS, man. I wish he was here. He's a good dude. You know, still clean. Good dude. But he got me involved in a lot of service. That's what did me. And this is how I remember it. And we're all old now. I got people that are around that long ago, and we've used a lot. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't remember the same, you know, because I was just talking about the Tri-State Convention. The way I remember it starting was I was brought up at the regional meeting, and regional meetings used to last, it was nothing to start at 9 and still be there at 11 o'clock that night, you know, I mean, that was normal. And they brought up having a convention, and it was shut down. You know, I think there was 5 ASRs, that's what they called them then, you know, area service reps. And And 3 of them voted against it, and one guy waited until 2 of them were gone, because everybody went hang out all day, and then he brought it back up again, which was his right under Robert's rules, and it passed. So we had our first convention, and there was a lot of controversy about it. But other people don't remember it like that, but I distinctly remember it, because I remember just shaking my head and saying, and then they got me involved, you know, and they got me involved in it. I thought, we shouldn't do this, because I'm a stickler for traditions, man. I get real, real tough on traditions, because I believe that's why NA grew. I believe that's why we finally grew, because we stuck to the traditions, you know. And that's what I was taught, too, that we will grow through these traditions. Right? Maybe it's more, and I would listen to people like my first sponsor. He was a tradition freak, and he used to drive me down to Ohio to these workshops, and I remember that was the first time I had cancer, and he drove me down there, and I didn't want to go, but he used to lean on my horn in front of the house until I come out, you know. And I went down there, and they were writing a basic text, but I was going through radiation treatment, so I just laid there. You know, I was sick. I didn't want to be there. I was really sick. But you people got me through that, man. It was amazing. It was amazing. So I didn't work for a couple of years. That's why also I was heavily involved in service. I didn't have nothing else to do. So anytime there was a service meeting, I was there. And no matter what it was, there was only Well, the Pittsburgh area was started first. I don't remember when the region started. That's why I was hoping that somebody else would be here, because I remember going, and I remember my second sponsor, who is my sponsor today. I've only had two. He said, made a motion we bring fruit to the meeting. That's what I remember about that first regional meeting, and that's all I remember, because I thought that was so funny. But we also, I don't know what else to say. What else is the reason why, you know, I was a literature man. I traveled all over the place. I'd go anywhere and sell literature. I was like, and I did it out of, that was some more defect coming out in me, you know, like I was the dope man, man. If you wanted literature, you had to see me. And the whole, you had to see me. And I wasn't a jerk about it. I was glad to do it. I delivered it all over the place. I went anywhere. Anybody, anytime called, and it got me to a meeting too. Somebody would call and say, what do you need? And I'd get to a meeting. And I'd go to, I had a van. I always had a van, and the van always had literature in it. And this is, well, we were talking about starting an office because the convention started making money. You know, this was in 87, I believe. And the convention was making some, decent money. I mean, thousands of dollars. And we were told the IRS was going to start looking at us, especially Narcotics Anonymous. And we had gone to the other fellowship, and they never bothered them. But we were let to know that they will bother you, because you ain't the other fellowship, And that's really the reason why we wanted to start it, but I don't know whether it was a camel that broke the back or not. I know it got a lot of people moving, and I know it got me moving a little bit. I was the treasurer of the region then, yeah. And I was still the literature man. You still had to see me for the literature. And my van caught on fire. And it was a sight to see. There I am, and I'm back in my old neighborhood where I grew up, and I'm on the ninth step, and I had already run into two cops in my old neighborhood where I grew up. I grew up in a borough right outside of Pittsburgh, and right on the city line. And I had to make amends to them. And I'm out there. You had to see it. I'm out there pulling literature out of my van and putting it on the sidewalk. I mean, I knew something was wrong, and I popped the cover off the engine, and flame shot out at me, and I just shut it, and started grabbing literature out of the van. And this cop pulled up, and I owed him amends too, and he didn't want to hear it. He was sure that it was an insurance job, that why I was doing this, and I didn't even have insurance. I remember that. And, but the key about it was, as there ended up, I couldn't get everything out of there because the flames got pretty bad, and I ended up a bag of key tags. There's probably about 100 key tags in there, got melted together. I couldn't get them, and that was my incentive to open up an office, because my ego was still there with, I'm the literature man, you got to see me and everything else. If it's down there, then, I never said that to anybody, but that was in my heart, that I didn't want an office opened up, because then the literature will be down there and somebody else will be. But I still ended up selling the literature all the time down there for a little while. I remember we weren't even totally told, we were said to start looking for an office, and I'll keep his name out of it. He was the chair of the region then. We started looking at offices, and man, it was just a drag. We're looking one after another, and I was the treasurer, and he was the chair, so he was a co-signer on the checkbook, so we finally find a nice office on the south side of Pittsburgh, and we rented an office. A lot of this stuff, man, back in them days, and it was sort of a little bit of self-will. Nowadays, I would probably say something to somebody, man, you get a group conscience. But we didn't do it back then, and that's how the first office opened up. And now it's so big, I'm going to be honest here, man, and it's maybe my opinion or whatever, but I don't believe in the beginning we were in this to make money, and it breaks my heart that I, maybe I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, somebody could say I'm wrong, but I don't think so. It breaks my heart that I feel that office now is about making money. I gave away I don't know how many starter kits when I was the literature person, and we weren't near as big, and I got on the office, on the board of directors, I was on the first board of directors, because we did have to incorporate because of taxes and everything. And I got back on the office about 3 years ago, and we weren't even given, I went to give a starter kit away, and they told me, no, we don't do that. And they're sitting on thousands of dollars worth of literature down there. And it just breaks my heart to see stuff like that. It really does. And I know I feel, and maybe this is my inferior complex coming out again, because I still have it big time. I feel that a lot of people don't like me because I say things like that. Our primary purpose is to help the still suffering addict, not to have money in the bank. And the last time I was down there, they had money in the bank too, and it breaks my heart that ain't what we started out to do. That isn't in our articles of incorporation. You know, I didn't help. Another guy helped write him, a jailhouse lawyer. He isn't really a lawyer. He's a jailhouse lawyer. That's what they called him. I'm sure he'd tell you. And he wasn't even allowed to sign on the articles of incorporation because he had a record. You know, he couldn't say, he had to be clean. I forget felonies for hours. I forget how long to sign on to be on the board, the first board. But we wrote them articles of corporation. He did the legal stuff, but a bunch of us wrote them from our heart, not legal stuff, from our heart. And we were always to follow the 12 traditions. That was the main thing. And it sort of breaks my heart, but everything's like that when it's small and in the beginning. I guess that's what I've been told, that everything's much more pure and everything, you know. But I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. I wish I'd get more involved. When I got involved down there before, I would get so upset. And I was told by my doctor and my sponsor, because I've also had open heart surgery since I've been clean, a couple heart attacks. I ended up having a heart attack while I was on, not when I was down in the office, but, you know, during my stint on the board. And so I was told by my sponsor and the doctor, that's too much stress for you. And the stress comes, and it ain't so much, and maybe I'm up here trying to explain myself, it ain't so much that I'm trying to be a control freak or anything. I have passion for this stuff. I love this place. And there ain't nothing getting me more upset than that you don't do what I believe in the traditions, what I was taught in the tradition, what our primary purpose is. There ain't nothing that gets me more upset than the people that don't understand that. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but that's the way I was taught, man. In the beginning, we had to have fundraisers because we were broke, you know. All our fundraisers went to buy literature and help still suffering addict or to H&I or PI or something, you know, because we were all one big committee. I was so blessed to get clean, man. So blessed. And that's all I can say, man. It has saved my life more times than I can remember. I mean, I thought this past year I was definitely going to die. You know, I was pretty sick. It's amazing. It's a miracle that I'm still here. And I just got so grateful for this place. You know, me and my sponsor talked, and I said, what a run, man. What a life I've had. You know, I mean, that's why I'm so passionate about this place, because it's given me so much, man. I wouldn't be alive today. I wouldn't have my family back. My family loves me today. They didn't talk to me when I, you know, before I got clean. Even after I was clean for a while, they didn't talk to me. They didn't want nothing to do with me. Now, you know, my four sisters were in my house. I mean, I had to knock them over when I was under to get to the bathroom. When you're on chemo, man, you got to run to the bathroom a lot. And I had to knock them over to get there. I mean, that's so special to me that I got that love back. And I got it from coming here. And I did all this stuff self-centeredly. All this service work that I did in the beginning, all the time I was there, I did it for me, because it made me feel so good, made me feel so welcome, made me feel so part of. And I don't think I was the only one. I think we were all like that. My first sponsor, he gave $35 to Raccoon State Park. And again, told me, you're on a committee. And that was the first tri-state spiritual retreat. You know, and he told another guy he sponsored, who's supposed to have been sitting here talking with me, that he was on a committee too. And that's how the first spiritual retreat started. And it was... I don't know. I didn't do much, except I was always the man they gave the money to, you know. And I liked it because I was in the background there too. I could do service work, but I wasn't out front. Like I said, this really gets, you know, I get so nervous. I mean, it's unreal. I didn't eat nothing today because I was afraid what would happen if I ate anything. That's how upset I get when I gotta speak. Especially at something like this. This is like a real honor to speak at an NA convention. I mean, anytime I speak, but this is like a little different because I'm here. But the only thing I did was got clean when I did and gave back what was, you know, it was so much fun back then. I mean, the history, the region, we were also known. I also became an RSR 1 year, 2 years I was the RSR, Regional Service Rep. What do they call them now? I don't know what they call them now. I forget, they changed all this stuff. But we were known out in California, everywhere, as the tradition freaks. You know, we were the people that were, that would cause problems because we stood by the traditions. I mean, and that's the way we talked about the traditions back then days and applied them. And I still think that, and I always would say there's somebody out there that felt like me, that felt like they didn't belong nowhere and knew when they came here that they would feel like they belong. And that was the reason why I did a lot of what I did too, because I knew that I wasn't the only one that felt this way. I knew I wasn't the only one that when they finally got here, that they knew they were home. And there wasn't any place else for us to go back in that day. In the 70s, when I first tried to get clean, there wasn't no, in my neighborhood, there wasn't nobody. And when I went to these places, a lot of these people knew me and wouldn't even talk to me. You know, and I was hurting. I was hurting real bad, and they wouldn't talk to me. And that's what NA gave me more than anything else, man. They made me feel welcome. And they didn't know me, you know. I don't know what else to say about the region, except it's one of the best in the world, I think. We're a very strong region. A lot of stuff came out of this region down there in Ohio. A lot of stuff came out of down there, which is, I think there's still Columbia and it's still part of our region. I don't see how much I know anymore. I've been out of touch, and I did lose my memory a lot. Chemotherapy, they told me, the first thing you're gonna one of the many side effects is you'll lose your memory. I said, good, I've already lost so much of it. That's why I ain't sure about a lot of things that happened back in them days, but it was really good. I was just, somebody just asking me in that room in there, I remember I worked on the railroad, and I got a back paycheck from the railroad when the books first came out, and my sponsor was the RSR that year, and he was out in California. I says, hey, back paycheck, buy me a case of books, you know, the blue first edition, whole case in them. I brought them back here and I was giving them away. So he said to me in there, you know how much money they'd be worth now? And I said, yeah, but you know what? I was giving away something that was very, very special to me. You know, that when I read that book for the first time, I cried. I did, man. And I didn't believe it because Jimmy Kay didn't want us to write that book. He used to tell me, because I used to call for the Litch order all the time and talk to him, and he says, he wanted to write it. Give us some more time. We ain't quite ready yet. We ain't quite ready yet. And I really liked the dude because I talked to him on the phone. We didn't just been talking to Litch Order. I talked to him on the phone about different stuff. And I was sort of against the book because I liked this guy, you know. And then when I read it, I cried, man. I remember I cried. And it was written by addicts for addicts. And that's what else I'm going to say up here. Our literature, I understand, isn't written by addicts anymore. And that really bothers me, too. It's like a therapeutic value of one addict helping another. I believe it should do it in the literature, too. I mean, but what do I know? I'm just another addict trying to get another day clean. I could remember that. That's why also I don't like coming up here, man. I could become an egotistical and say, I got all this clean time. I don't know any more than anybody else. I just was graced to get clean when I got clean. I hit the, what's it say in the basic text? The gift of desperation. I had the gift of desperation at that time. I was given that gift at that time, and so I was blessed to be here when NA was growing in this region. I mean, growing. I remember after the East Coast. That's why I was so excited that the East Coast was here last year, man. I got on that committee right away. I was sick as a dog. I told him I wanted to resign because I was so sick with the chemotherapy, you know, and they wouldn't let me resign. I said, man, I can't even see sometimes, let alone balance a checkbook. And so I was just a keeper of the checkbook is all I was, you know, because they carried me. But I was because I was at the 30s coast that was here. 30 years later, they brought back the East Coast. I was so excited. But after the 30s coast, we went from like, I don't think we had a meeting every week. Nobody wanted to start a meeting on Tuesday night. because there was the other fellowship's meeting on Tuesday night that was all addicts. There wasn't, you know, that's all. And nobody wanted to start one on Tuesday night because everybody went there. But after the East Coast, we took off like you wouldn't believe. After the third East Coast, meetings just started everywhere. That's how powerful that convention was, man. It just, we took off something crazy. And then the next year we had our convention up in Blawnox. And I think we lost money. I ain't sure. I shouldn't say. Somebody wrote us a check that wasn't any good, and that put us in the red. You know, but you know what? It was good. We had one the next year, and it's grown, and it grew. That funded our office and funded our literature for a while. But we never expect, you know, what do you do with the excess money? Our primary purpose, still carry the message of still suffering addict. That's why I love that East Coast. All the basic, all the profit from that went to put basic techs in prisons. You know, I think all our profits, if you know, I don't know, man. It's a tough situation now with that we've come so big. It was easier when we were small. I don't want to get into my opinion here. I really shouldn't, man, because. But I'm still involved in AA. I'm at my home group every week, and I go 3 or 4 times a week, and I still love it. And I'm still, now that I'm feeling better again, I'm going to go pick up my H&I commitment back because, you know, I couldn't do that. But I can't remember much else about the tri-state. I mean, it's just grown and grown and grown. I mean, I don't know whether history there is. There's some. We used to have a newsletter called Miracles Happen. I still have some of them at home. Where, you know, I can't remember much other history. If anybody has any questions, I might be able to remember something. I don't know. That's all I got. Thanks for listening.